Are you or a loved one in the midst of a cancer diagnosis or bouncing back from your battle? Welcome to Thrive Through Cancer, the podcast that offers hope and healing and shares personal experiences, self-care solutions, health tips, and the support of a community of people just like you. I'm Susan Johnson, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner whose own son was diagnosed with cancer right before his third birthday. My job was to keep people healthy, to help them fight disease. So when my own son was diagnosed with this scary illness, it was so humbling. But rather than becoming a victim, I began researching. I up-leveled my knowledge and my mindset, and I chose to serve others through our own cancer journey. This show is an opportunity to find and share strength through our struggles. You'll hear from health professionals, innovative thinkers, beautiful personalities, and those who have learned to live life to the fullest despite their diagnosis. We'll raise some questions, find some answers, shed a few tears, share more than a few laughs, and give each other the motivation to get through one more day every single day. So join me in this journey and let's learn to thrive through cancer together. Follow us now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your shows. Welcome to the Thrive Through Cancer podcast. I'm your host, Susan Johnson, and I am so grateful you're here, even for the next 30 minutes, to learn how to improve your health, how to thrive through a current cancer diagnosis, help a loved one, or if you're just looking to create an environment cancer cannot live in, this is a really great place to start. So I want to remind you before we get started, and this is something that I would encourage you to also continue to repeat in your head on a daily basis if you're currently fighting cancer or you have a loved one. You can feel well while fighting cancer. You can have hope in your cancer diagnosis, and you can also thrive through cancer. This topic is quite relevant, especially for a month that the world sets aside for breast cancer awareness. And it's the month of October as we record this. And although a lot of the funding and the campaigning doesn't do much to move anything forward as far as cancer prevention or even really curing cancer, it does fund a lot of salaries and it funds quite a bit of more medications to, you know, support a diagnosis. And so I'm always a little bit hesitant to jump on the bandwagon of breast cancer awareness. However, I'm a huge proponent of how can we help those who are fighting breast cancer? How can we help support you? How can we help even create an environment that cancer can't survive in? And I want to kind of go back to the basics when we talk about imaging. Imaging is something that is used to detect cancer, but also can be used preventatively. And there's two popular versions of imaging specifically for breast cancer. One is more well-known than the others, but I want to share these two in particular, mammography and thermography. So there are two different methods for breast cancer screening, but actually thermography is used for whole body screening, whole health. It's a wonderful tool for prevention. And some would argue that mammography can be used similarly. They both have their advantages and limitations, but there's a lot of evidence suggesting that thermography is a safer option compared to mammograms. And it's important to understand the context and the considerations for both approaches. And I always advise you to talk to your medical doctor before starting or stopping any protocol and talk to them about what they feel is best for your health. But remember, you are your own best advocate as well. So if we talk about the idea of mammograms, one of the things that concerns me is the radiation exposure. So there is radiation exposure in mammograms. They use ionizing radiation, which can carry a risk of causing DNA damage. And radiation exposure can potentially increase the risk of cancer in the long term, particularly with repeated exposure over time. And these days, it's very common now that we're using an even more advanced form of mammography that increases radiation exposure. I believe it's called the 3D version, which is way more radiation exposure than what was used in the past. they're often calling people back for repeat mammograms in the same year. And so it's just a lot of radiation exposure. Now, thermography is a non-invasive imaging technique that uses infrared technology to detect heat patterns in the breast, and it does not involve any radiation exposure. A lot of people will ask, can I do thermography when I'm pregnant or nursing? And the answer is yes, because there's no harm in doing thermography. It's truly using heat, like infrared technology, to detect heat. Now, while you're nursing and pregnant, just as a side note, it's not going to be quite as effective. And so I would wait until you're done to kind of start preventative screening. Now, let's talk about the detection of abnormalities. So mammograms are effective at detecting certain breast abnormalities, particularly calcifications and really dense tissue, which some believe can be early indicators of breast cancer. But here's the problem. It often leads to false positives of a diagnosis and premature aggressive treatment. So what we've seen happen, you know, really in the last 20 years is these kind of premature diagnosis of stage one breast cancer, which many would argue that stage one is just inflammation. Now, again, I am not a medical doctor, and I would highly advise you to consult with your physician if you do get a reading that does show abnormalities, of course. But here's, again, why I like thermography in compared to mammograms with the detection of abnormalities. So thermography detects variations in temperature on the skin surface, and it can indicate areas of increased blood flow and inflammation. It shows patterns that suggest the breast abnormalities, but it does not provide direct visual of a tumor. So there is an area of, an area of inflammation that's increased, and they show, if you get a thermography report and it does show inflammation, which it'll indicate by color, and the person who does your thermography will explain this. You do want to follow up. Like, you can't just go, oh, okay. So thermography will detect inflammation, and inflammation is a precursor to cancer, right? So what I recommend for detection of abnormalities when it comes to thermography is the next step would be an ultrasound. Now, again, you would want to consult with a technician who's doing the thermography, because what may happen is they say, okay, yeah, I'm seeing some inflammation, maybe come back in 3 months and we'll look. And if it continues to increase or it stays the same, then we go in for a follow-up, which would be the next step that I highly recommend is an ultrasound. So that would be my suggestion if there is detection of abnormalities on a thermography scan. So again, please understand that your technician will help you with this process. So now let me just explain thermography, because I think for a lot of people, this is new. Your doctor may not have ever mentioned this. It might just be something you've kind of heard of, but you don't understand how it works. So as I said, it's infrared thermal imaging. So we actually can call thermography digital infrared thermal imaging, and it uses state-of-the-art infrared camera to measure the temperature of the skin surface. Now, it is FDA approved, by the way, which is a lot of people want to know, is it FDA approved? Yes. It's non-invasive. Nothing touches you. In fact, the camera is typically a good 10 feet away from you. It's just basically an adjunctive screening tool that involves no radiation. And this is why I really like this option. As I mentioned, the thermal images will show an increase or decrease in temperature, which of course indicates the interpreting that there's some type of a process taking place, right? Now, using the knowledge that your body is symmetrical, right? We were created like our bodies are symmetrical. The thermography will detect where there's abnormal hot or cold patterns. And again, this is detecting levels of inflammation. So this actually can be really helpful in detecting early stage cancer and disease. I am a huge proponent of starting screenings early. Like, you can start screenings in your 20s. And what's beautiful about thermography, again, is it's non-invasive. So you're not exposing yourself to anything that's not helpful. In fact, you're just getting a really clear picture of how your body looks and is working, and if there's areas of inflammation that need to be addressed. And so getting a thermography scan once a year, I shouldn't call it a scan, but you know, the images taken once a year is wonderful. And you can do a full body thermography appointment, not just breast. So you can do, there's different options. But again, it'll show inflammation in different areas of your body. So I really believe that thermography is something that we should not only use preventatively, but also if you see or feel any type of change in your breast tissue or anywhere else. And again, it's safe. So here's five reasons why I am a big proponent for thermography scans and doing them annually. Many cancer parents wish there was more they could do to help their child thrive through their diagnosis. They're sick of dealing with the side effects from treatment, low A&C, and unplanned hospital stays, not to mention having to often resort to the Band-Aids that are currently offered, but they don't always work. At best, they provide temporary results that sadly rarely last. Although I'm now the go-to expert for many cancer families, it took my own journey with my son to learn how to help families thrive today. And oddly enough, what I learned and put into action was so counterintuitive that I didn't mention to anyone at first what I was doing. I thought I'd be ridiculed because it was different. It challenged convention, but it worked. Finally, my community of cancer parents had a simple and proven method to help their child thrive without extra medication, without forcing their child to eat something they didn't want to, without interfering with doctors' protocols or breaking the bank. I call it the Thrive Through Cancer formula. And if you'd like to see how it works and why it's more effective than most options out there, then I invite you to watch a brand new online training where I show you exactly how my clients have achieved lasting results following this unique process. You can watch it by going to bit.ly/yourthriveformula. That's bit.ly/yourthriveformula. Inside, I'll share the leading cause of our kids feeling unwell during and after treatment and what we can do about it. I'll share why cancer parents who want to enhance their child's quality of life should avoid keeping their child in a sterile environment. There's a much more powerful and natural way to help support their child's immune system. I'll share the unexpected reason why kids with cancer have a hard time avoiding inpatient stays and how to change it. So much more will be shared in this webinar, and you've already taken the first step by just listening to this. So please take the next step and watch the free training today. Go to bit.ly/yourthriveformula. That's bit.ly/yourthriveformula. Now back to our show. Number one, we already talked about this. It's safe and it's non-invasive, right? It's not squishing. It's not poking. It's not compressing. It's not exposing you to radiation. It is a very simple and safe method. Now, one of the things that is very kind of hush-hush, it's not talked about, and very few people realize this, that mammograms and traditional screening methods are using the ionizing radiation that is anywhere from 40 to 70 millirems per mammogram. And that's a lot. So the cumulative effect of routine mammography screening can increase women's risk of developing radiation-induced breast cancer. So again, it's kind of one of those things, like we know that the number one side effect of many chemotherapy drugs is secondary cancer. I was just talking to a cancer mom the other day who's in my Thrive Through Cancer formula program, and she said, it just feels so frustrating that here we're trying to use this drug to help our kids' cancer, but then it also causes secondary cancer. And again, this is where I have to remind these families I work closely with, and you as well, that this is why we implement so many preventative measures. And this is why we detox. This is why we use nutrition. This is why we use plant medicine and supplementation, right? To try to help counteract many of these side effects that we don't want. So the next thing I really like is, of course, that early detection can be obtained with thermography. It's a very preventative test. And so there's a few things that it's actually preventative for, not just breast cancer. Now, we already talked about breast cancer, right? And how it's very helpful, but also it can help detect clogged arteries. Again, that's kind of a life-saving situation, right? People that have high risk of a stroke, they can detect this through temperature readings on the cranial images of an upper or full body scan. It can also, as I mentioned, detect inflammation. So that's really helpful because what we don't often say out loud is inflammation is a silent killer when it comes to your health. You know, of course, some inflammation is healthy. Please understand that and necessary for your body. But when it's chronic, it's excessive, it can become problematic and the precursor to many illnesses, including cancer. So when you have inflammation, it's a sign from your body that it's fighting something. And that's why we want to address it. And thermography can help uncover some of those issues and locate potential areas that may need to be addressed, whether it's breast or brain or, you know, just any of these different places that could be problematic. The next thing I love is, I mentioned it already, is it's great for the entire body. So thermography as an adjunctive screening can be done for the whole body. So there's just a wide range of applications for this. And again, we can do breast, we can do upper body, we can do full body. Full body is just really comprehensive. It includes everything in the upper body, as well as arms, shoulders, feet, legs, inside the legs. It gives you a really good insight into your vascularity, your veins, even circulation. Really cool, right? And by the way, men should be doing thermography too. It's not just something for women. It's a really effective method to detect some forms of inflammation and just kind of measure overall health. Okay, so, you know, just in conjunction with the idea that it can be used for men as well, it's been approved by the FDA, as I mentioned, but it's actually been approved for screening for breast cancer, thyroid disorder, cerebrovascular disease, neuromuscular disorder, peripheral muscular disorder. Okay. So these are all things that both men and women experience. And furthermore, thermography can also pick up, as I mentioned, on inflammation, but guess what? Dental pathologies, lymphatic congestion, hormone imbalance, nerve pathology, circulation issues, vein thrombosis, arthritis, pain, sluggish digestion, and so much more. So what I love about this, and maybe you're kind of catching on, is unfortunately a lot of times the conventional approach to disease and even health is very reactive. It's not proactive. In fact, within America, at least, preventative medicine is where we're failing. Now, reactive medicine, emergency medicine, I think we're probably second to none, but preventative care is just almost a joke now, right? We're using medications rather than addressing root cause. And so what I love about thermography is it's actually a tool to use for preventative health and maintenance. The thing that I love as well is it's very affordable. So some people think that thermography, well, it's not covered by insurance, so it's got to be expensive. Thermography can be anywhere from $200 to $500. I had a breast... No, actually, I did a full body thermography just about 4 months ago, and I want to say it was $350. So in the show notes, we're going to link a resource to help you find thermography clinics near you. It's not quite as easy as you may think, but we'll put a link there to just kind of help you get on your feet with finding the first place that you can go. But again, it is very affordable, and it is, yes, a one-time price, right? You're paying the $350, let's say, if that's the price in your area for a full body scan, but this is a once a year, really helpful tool to use to monitor your health. So again, pretty affordable. Now, the thing about thermography that I think a lot of people argue with mammography, you know, there's mammograms and thermography, is, oh, well, it's not quite as effective. It actually has an accuracy rate of up to 97%. And it's important to know that no screening tool to date is 100% effective. And most of these screenings, including thermography, aren't meant to be standalone tests. It's when we're able to combine technologies that we can get the most amazing results. And so, for example, doing an annual thermography scan and also an annual workup of labs with a functional provider, amazing. if something is indicating inflammation, then you can follow that up with an ultrasound, right? So it is important to realize there's no such thing as 100% effective, including mammograms, but thermography is up to 97% effective. And that's according to the American Journal of Surgery. And I'll link this in the show notes so that you can see this. And I think one of the things to consider is the risk of thermography is literally nothing. It's such a safe procedure. It seems silly to not start there. Kind of that idea, first do no harm, right? Before we cut, before we poison, before we burn, before we squish, before we poke. Is there, I always ask myself, I challenge my parents that I work with that have kids with cancer. What is the option that is the least harmful that we can try first? That should always be our question. When our kids have a fever, what is the first thing I can do that does no harm? And then if that doesn't work, I can also lean on some of these other more conventional approaches, right? First, do no harm. And so when it comes to the screening technology, thermography is just a really helpful tool that, again, you can use that is not doing harm. And if you need to get more screenings, like we've mentioned already, ultrasounds are a great next step. So what's interesting, kind of in just tying this all together, is some of the risks that you've learned in this episode about mammograms is, have you noticed that women under 40 aren't recommended to get mammograms? It's because their tissues are generally denser. And this makes it harder for anatomical tests to determine what's an area of concern and what's not. With thermography, like I said, you can start at any age, really. But I think it's important to realize, like, okay, so if we can have an option that can actually detect some of these things at any age, what a great solution. So a few things just to consider as you're sitting down and trying to decide, is this something that I should do? Does this make sense for my family? I want you to consider some of the things that you can do every single day to support your breast health, okay? And these are just basic things. I'm going to share five of my favorite things that you can do just to support your breast health. So number one, I hope that this is common sense, but just in case it's not, I want you to consider not wearing your phone on your body, specifically not in your bra, under your shirt, in your Lululemon pants. I see women all of the time putting their phones on their body. And like I said, even on their pockets. And I know we're specifically talking about breast health, but we know there's evidence that radio frequency, electromagnetic frequency that is coming off of phones is really harmful. And here we're talking about trying to avoid radiation screening, right? To improve our breast health, yet we're wearing our devices on our body and specifically on your breast. So please do not carry your phone on your person. The best is to have it at least a barrier in between. So a backpack, a purse, a fanny pack, something that does provide a bit of space between yourself and your device. Now, the next thing, I highly recommend using a combination of frankincense, sandalwood, and myrrh essential oil. What I like to do is I put 20 drops of each of these oils in a 10 milliliter roller bottle. I fill the rest of the roller bottle up with fractionated coconut oil. And every single morning, I roll this blend around my breasts and even over my thyroid. You can look up on PubMed.gov different studies that have been done showing the effectiveness of these three essential oils with cells. I'm trying to be compliant here, but I'll link in the show notes a link to those products. I'll actually put together a toolkit for you that has all of that in there. Now, the next thing is do not wear bras with underwire. This is maybe contrary to what you've thought or maybe been told, but there's something that happens with the lymphatic flowing through your body. So your lymph is a clear watery fluid that helps push toxins through your body. We need it to be flowing. We don't want any disruption in the flow. Underwire, right underneath your breasts, where there are a lot of lymph nodes and we have that lymph that we need to flush, stops. It stops the progression of the lymph going through and flushing. And so please wear bras that do not have underwire. And if you have larger breasts, I know that's, it sounds like it would be uncomfortable. There are some really supportive bras that you can purchase that actually don't have underwire that are still providing support. A couple brands I like is Wacall and Calvin Klein. Those are two that I've purchased in the past that are supportive and really helpful at still supporting your breasts, but not providing underwire. The next thing is rebounding. Every single day, if you can rebound for 10 minutes on a small trampoline, I'll link in the show notes my favorite rebounder that I use every single morning. That is stimulating the lymphatic system to flow. So when you stimulate your lymph to pump, because unlike your heart, your lymph does not have a pump, and you rebound for 10 minutes, you are stimulating that fluid to flow through and clean up the trash in your lymphatic system, in your body. Okay, so rebounding is phenomenal. And the final thing that I would suggest for maintaining healthy breasts is make sure you're using clean deodorant. You guys, I cannot emphasize this enough. This is one of the most important things that is highly ignored because we don't think that it's going to be as effective. We don't think that it'll be as effective to wear a clean deodorant. We're terrified that we're going to smell, right? Like, oh, I can't not wear this Dove or Secret, whatever. But here's what's really fascinating. Did you know that women with breast cancer have higher levels of aluminum in their nipple aspirate fluid, which is the fluid present in the breast duct tree? Do you know where that aluminum is often coming from? Deodorant. Normal deodorant has aluminum that clogs your lymph. It's toxic. We know aluminum's toxic. So throw away your deodorant that you're using that is not clean. And you guys, my favorite deodorant of all time, we've used it for a decade. My husband uses it. My 14-year-old daughter, my 12-year-old son, we all use it. And I promise you it works. We now live in the Caribbean and we are always sweating all day long. And I am the best example of this deodorant working. Primally Pure deodorant is non-toxic and actually works. It's amazing. I'll link a discount code for you guys in the show notes, but I'll tell you my favorite aromas. The citrus vanilla is my favorite and actually my son's favorite. Blue tansy is my husband's favorite and my daughter's favorite. They also have a charcoal deodorant that if you're brand new, I would suggest if you are just starting your journey and switching to healthy deodorant, because now when you know better, you do better, right? Then I would suggest starting with the charcoal deodorant and be prepared that you are going to maybe notice you smell a little bit more in the beginning because your body is detoxing. When you give it the right materials, it starts to push the crap out, literally. So use the charcoal deodorant for a few months first. It will still work, I promise, but it's going to actually help pull some of that aluminum and some of those toxins out of your body. So I'll link in the show notes a discount code for you guys, of course, to Primally Pure Deodorants. They have a million amazing things, by the way, but that's not what this episode is about. It's about breast health. And I hope it was helpful. I hope what you learned today is giving you the power to make wise choices, not just for reactive issues, but also for proactive situations, right? Thank you guys for listening. I'm always so grateful for you to come back each week, and I hope you have a beautiful day. Okay, let's play a game really quickly. What is one thing that you wear, or let me say you should wear every single day if you're really active and you tend to sweat? Yes, ding, ding, ding. The answer is deodorant. Now, some of you are totally natural and I love that. Good for you. But for me, my husband, and even now my teenager and almost teenage son, I'm happy that we're choosing to wear deodorant because we are real active and we do sweat a lot. So here's the thing though. Most commercial deodorants actually put your health at risk. They contain harsh chemicals and artificial fragrances, some that have actually been linked directly to cancer. These ingredients also can clog up your lymph and prevent your body from being able to push chemicals out. But the good news is this, Primally Pure deodorants are non-toxic. They're made with simple organic ingredients that are 100% natural and safe. And here's the best part, it's a natural deodorant that totally works and is formulated for sensitive skin with just a little bit of baking soda. It smells amazing. It works great even after workout, even if you're my husband. And there's no aluminum, no parabens, no fragrance, no triclosan, no talc, nothing artificial at all. So our favorites are Blue Tansy, the Citrus Vanilla, and the Charcoal Deodorant. Now, while you're at Primally Pure, I'm going to give you a discount code, but you also should try their dry shampoo and their oil cleansing line. In fact, you won't be mad about anything you purchase from this company that is very intentional with their sourcing, with their manufacturing, and making sure it's a quality product that really does work and supports your health. So go to bit.ly/primallypurewithseason. That's bit.ly/primallypurewithseason and use code SEASONJOHNSON10 to enjoy 10% off. You can find this in the show notes as well, but tag me once you get your Primally Pure and tell me how much you love it.